بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. On Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I depend, and in Him I seek help. On the beginning of this journey with the classes on fiqh, know, may Allah's mercy be upon me and you, that worship is established upon two matters. Number one, al-hub, love, and the second is at-ta'zim, magnification. Through love, one attains to, one follows through in order to attain the pleasure of the one beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through magnification, one flees from the falling into sin. Because when you magnify Allah, you fear Him. And when you love Him, you seek Him. As to the conditions of acceptance of worship, then they are also two. Al-ikhlas, sincerity, having intentions purely for Allah's sake. And the second, al-mutaba'atu li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to the meaning of fiqh, fiqh linguistically means al-fahm, understanding. And from this is the verse concerning the tasbih, the glorification of Allah, declaring Him far removed from any imperfection, which is done by the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra 44, the seven heavens and the earth and all that therein glorify Him, and there is not a thing but glorifies Him. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحَهُمْ. But you don't understand, you understand not. لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَفْقَهُونَ. You don't understand, or you understand not their glorification. Also we read in Surah Hud 11:91, قالوا يا شعيب ما نفقه كثيرا مما تقول. لا نفقه أي لا نفهم. We don't understand. They said, oh شعيب, we don't understand much of what you say. لا نفقه. And we see you a weak man. To the end of the verse. This is the linguistic meaning of fiqh. As to the Islamic or legal meaning, it means recognizing the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pertaining to creeds and transactions or practical dealings. So the fiqh in Sharia is not limited to the actions of the legally responsible, meaning al-mukallafin, or also not limited to the practical rulings. It also encompasses the rulings pertaining to the creed. In fact, some of the people of knowledge say, إِنَّ عِلْمَ الْعَقِيدَةِ هُوَ الْفِقْهُ الْأَكْبَرُ وَهَذَا حَقٌّ. Some of the scholars say that the knowledge of the creed is the greatest fiqh, and this is true. Because you can't worship the one who deserves to be worshipped except after knowing لتوحيد in its branches, توحيد in lordship, in the names and attributes and in divinity. And that's why the fundamental matter is التوحيد, and it deserves thus to be called الفقه الأكبر, the greatest fiqh. However, what is intended here with respect to the fiqh is recognizing the practical rulings with the detailed evidences, with their detailed evidences. And the first chapter is At-Tahara, purification. Linguistically, the meaning of Tahara is purification, cleanness, and in Sharia it covers two meanings. And in Sharia it covers two meanings. The first, طهارة القلب من الشرك في عبادة الله, purifying the heart from shirk of worship, ascribing partners in worship with Allah, and from enmity and hate towards the believing slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is more important than the purification of the body itself. Rather, the purification of the body in the presence cannot be established truly in the presence of the impurity and filth of shirk. This is the first one. The second, and this is a fundamental aspect, the purity of the heart from shirk and from enmity and hatred towards the believers, this is a fundamental one. A sub-meaning is الطهارة الحسية, the physical purification. And it means ارتفاع الحدث. It means ارتفاع الحدث, meaning the removal of the description that prevents from salah and the like. This is the meaning of ارتفاع الحدث. This is the physical purification. It means removal of the description which prevents from salah and the like. What is al-hadath? We said irtifa'u al-hadath, removal of the hadath. Al-hadath is a description established physically preventing from salah and the like. And when we say from salah and the like, meaning from the matters that require purification. When we say preventing from salah and the like, this covers matters which تشترط لها الطهارة, which require purification as a condition. For example, someone urinates, then washes the private part, then makes wudu. Now, in the physical state when he urinated, he cannot make the salah. But after he made the wudu, then ارتفع الحدث. This description, this physical description is lifted. And therefore now the person can make the salah because the description standing as a barrier from salah is removed. And when we say from Salah and the like, you see in the definition there, from Salah and the like washing the hands after awakening from sleep. This is wajib, this is obligatory, and it is called purification. Rather, but it is not hadath. It is not hadath. It is not a physical description that prevents from salah. It is a purification, but it is not a physical description that prevents from salah, meaning it is not a hadath. It is a purification. Because if you wake up and you wash your hands, in no way this means it removes the hadath, the physical barrier between you and salah. So if you wash your hands and go to pray, your salah is not acceptable. Also, if someone renews his wudu, he is in a state of wudu, and then he renews that, then there is no lifting of hadath, of this physical description preventing salah. Even though it is called tahara, even though it is called tahara. It is called tahara because it takes the meaning of irtifa' al-hadath. It takes the meaning of irtifa' al-hadath. It takes the meaning of removal of this description which we mentioned earlier. So purification so far is based upon two. One is a foundation, which is the removal of shirk and hatred and enmity towards the believers. The second, irtifa' al-hadath, and this is the sub. Irtifa' al-hadath, removal of the description established physically that prevents from salah and the like. And also, thirdly, zawalul khabath. Zawalul khabath, disappearance of filth. Disappearance of filth. So now we have now three elements. The foundation, and this is the purification from shirk. Second, irtifa'ul hadath, removal of the description established physically which prevents from salah and the like. Thirdly, removal of filth, which is called وَزَوَالُ الْخَبَثِ, which is called زَوَالُ الْخَبَثِ. وَالْخَبَثُ هُوَ النَّجَاسَ, is impurity, removal of impurity or filth. And what is najasa? What is the ritual impurity or ritual filth? It is legally everything which is considered legally unclean. Legally unclean. That's what we mean by that. Means the legal filth. And remember here, in the definition we said, not removal of filth, it should be really the disappearance. This is very important. In the text there, it should be corrected. It is the disappearance of filth. Because this is more general than the removal. Because this is more general than the removal. Because filth, it may disappear on its own. For example, if we know that this is a place that is, or that became filthy because of urine, then rain came on it and it was pure and it became pure. So it became pure without an intervention from us, without a removal by us. Also, if we have water, that a specific place of water whose odor changed and became filthy, then this odor disappeared, so it becomes pure without any intervention by us. Now, why the scholars of Islam start the books of fiqh with the chapter of tahara, of purification? Because of two reasons. Number one, الطهارة تخلية من الأذى. Tahara is ridding off or getting rid of what's harmful. And second, الطهارة مفتاح الصلاة. Tahara is the key for salah. And the salah is the second pillar of Islam after the shahadatain. And that's why the scholars, may Allah's mercy be upon them, start their books of fiqh by the chapter on tahara. And since this salah cannot be correct except with the purification from the hadath, the ritual state of impurity, and also the purification from that which is legally filthy, because of that, the tahara, the purification, is obviously understood why to begin with. Now, this purification needs a tool. The purification needs a tool. And this tool is the water. And this tool is the water. The water is correctly divided into two types, although some consider it of three types. But the correct opinion that it is of two types, or two kinds. The first one is at-tahur. At-tahur. And at-tahur is the water in its original state. The water in its original state, unmixed with anything that may change its original state, then this at-tahur is a pure and purifying. Is pure and purifying. Rainwater, groundwater, if seawater, of course, yes. However, if any of its three descriptions change its odor, its taste, or its color, a change by a filthy thing or a substance or a matter, then it becomes filthy by consensus. So if any of its three descriptions, odor, taste, or color, changes by a filthy matter, then it becomes filthy by consensus. And if any of these three descriptions, it changes by a clean matter, like leaves or soap or the like. And this thing, this clean matter, does not prevail in its effect, then the correct opinion is that it continues to be tahur, purifying, and used to lift the ritual impurity and to clean and to remove the ritual filth. So therefore we can summarize that water now is of two types. طهور يصح التطهر به. طهور can be legally used to purify with, and the purification is correct. Whether it remains on its original nature or it becomes mixed with a pure matter such that it does not prevail in its effect on the water, then in this case it is still considered purifying. Tahur. The second is filthy, and therefore cannot be used to lift the ritual impurity nor to remove ritual filth. And this is the type of water whose color or odor or taste has changed by a filth affecting it. Now, could other than water be used to remove the description of filth? The correct opinion, yes. Anything that can take away the filth, if added or if soaked, or if the filth changes on its own, or even if it is cooked or the like, then it becomes clean by any of these processes other than the purifying water. Finally, for today's topic remains the following case. If someone doubts that a pure water is filthy, then the origin is that it is pure, and the opposite is true. And the opposite is true, and vice versa. This is, in summary, the opening chapter concerning Tahara and the classification of the tool used in the purification, and that is the water. Now remains the tayammum. And the tayammum, the correct opinion, is that it lifts the ritual purity, the ritual impurity. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he mentioned at-tayammum in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 6, قال الله عز وجل after that, ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج ولكن يريد ليطهركم. And the meaning of tathir is أن الحدث ارتفع, that the ritual impurity is lifted. But if you are ill or on a journey or anyone comes from answering the call of nature, or you have been in contact with women and you find no water, then perform tayammum with clean earth and rub with your faces and hands. Then he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج ولكن يريد ليطهركم. Allah does not want to place you in difficulty. He wants to purify you. So this indicates that the ritual impurity is lifted through tayammum, through the dry ablution. Inshallah, details about these matters, of course, will come. But this is the, in summary, the subject on tahara and the water. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue the topics on tahara in the coming classes. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.